Humankind is endlessly fascinated with maps, and we are surrounded by them now more than ever. In his new book, On the Map, a mind-expanding exploration of the way the world looks, Simon Garfield explores the unique ways that maps reflect human history and how they are a key part of our evolution as a species. Garfield has a flair for mining the compelling from the obscure and mysterious. He peels back the layers of history and weaves in entertaining modern anecdotes to reveal the complex and fascinating relationship between man and map. It's a great pleasure to welcome Simon Garfield back to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Joe. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. You know, the last time you were on the show, we were talking about your book, Just My Type, which was a book about fonts. And this book is about maps. And was it that a natural progression for you, or how did you come to the subject?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose the sort of the criterion for choosing topics to write about are things that I'm passionate about. And you know, type was one, and maps was another. I've been interested in maps, and I really sort of aware of what maps can do and their power and their influence and everything. I think pretty much since I was a kid, since I saw it on the London Underground. I used to take just one stop on the tube, and but it was inescapable then, and this was sort of from the age of 10, and I had no idea that the London Tube map was such a sort of iconic thing. But I think it was there that things really began, and then after that, you know, endless geography and history classes and all of that.
It is, and you write about this beautifully, is this wonder of maps, of how much they reveal about us, how much they reveal about our history, and as you point out, how they really express both our best and our worst attributes.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because obviously, you know, somehow, I think in fact I learned this from school, you know, one tends to think of maps as somehow, you know, the final word. You see a map laid down and you think, okay, well, that's the answer, that this must be true. But in fact, they can be as sort of so objective as a personal account of anything. And ultimately, one has to remember that these are drawn by and large by one person or a small group of people with a very much a sort of an interest at heart, and they have an angle. And so, you know, the best and the worst characteristics come out on maps, and these can be, you know, our best, I suppose, are, you know, ambition and exploration and adventure, and our worst, I think, are sort of greed and conquest and colonialization. So, you know, maps sort of clearly reflect all of these. Now, of course, they reflect commerce as well. It's very, very hard to look at a Google map or any other digital map online and not be bombarded by adverts down the side. So that's the new way we look at maps. And again, you know, fantastically handy, fantastically useful, but they sort of come with a slight price, I think.
It is, in reading the book, I was fascinated by the motivation that we had to, especially in the early maps, because that came out of curiosity, basically, of knowing what was there and exploring it and conveying that to other people, communicating.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, originally, I think, you know, despite what I just said, initially, I think there was more of a sort of a purely scientific venture to it and a more sort of scholarly pursuit as well. So, you know, the book really begins on the shores of Alexandria in Egypt about 2,000 years ago, and I look at the maps that were first drawn and the vision of the world that we had then, and this was kind of drawn up by a mixture of things, really. It was sort of travelers' tales. People would come in. Alexandria was sort of pretty much the trading capital of the world and the cultural capital of the world 2,000 years ago as well. And so navigators would come in and report their findings and report great trade to be found wherever. And we knew of three continents. We knew of Asia, and we knew of Africa, and we knew of Europe, of course. And somehow, by a mixture of these accounts and some sort of imagination, or some fantastic imagination, and lurking up at the heavens as well, we managed to concoct a fairly accurate picture of the world. There was a huge amount that we got wrong, and obviously, you know, we didn't know about the other continents. We had no idea of sort of Antarctica and Australasia and all of that, and obviously the New World wasn't on there either. But the things we got right were sort of extraordinary. But then what happened after that was we sort of fell into the Dark Ages, and then that's when maps became, you know, religious or political.
And in that politicalization and religious conversion of the map, how did that change the product, if you will?
Well, I mean, you know, we don't have that many examples of maps from the Middle Ages, because they were, you know, destroyed the way maps are. Some of them were sort of survived until the Second World War. There's a famous one in Germany that just got bombed in, I think, 1945. But the most famous one and the most valuable one, I think, is in Hereford, in sort of on the border of England and Wales. And it's a map that's about 5 foot in circumference, and it's or rather diameter, I should say. And it's drawn on the back of a calf skin, and it's a truly religious map. It was a map used for sort of guiding pilgrims, not so much around the world, but in the way they should live their lives. So Jerusalem is at the middle of it, and sort of that's, you know, the ultimate destination of a well-lived Christian life. But they're very kind of fearful things on the map as well. They're all sorts of terrible scenes of hell and damnation if you don't follow the righteous path. But what it is fantastically geographically inaccurate, and they didn't really care about navigation. You never thought you'd sort of get to half the places on the map, and it wasn't used for directions at all. It was used for sort of moral instruction, and it was only really at the beginning of the Renaissance, in the sort of the 14th and the 15th century, did things sort of begin to change, and we sort of discovered and rediscovered a more scientific way of mapping with grids, and obviously that was used for, you know, to begin the very much the golden age of exploration.
The map that you just mentioned, which was on calfskin that dates back to like 1290, you tell just a hell of a story about how it was almost sold, incredibly enough, to fix a leaky roof.
Yeah, it was. You know, I think it's probably the darkest day in certainly in British cartography, perhaps sort of, you know, world cartography as well. I went up to interview the Dean of Hereford Cathedral, who told me this sort of extraordinary tale, which he wasn't at all ashamed of, which I was slightly so surprised. That in 1988, as you say, this cathedral had a leaky roof. It had all sorts of problems. It had huge interest at the debt, you know, interest loans at the bank and everything. And they saw this sale of the map was the only way to sell it, and Sotheby's came along, announced outside the cathedral with a facsimile of the map that it was going to be sold. The cathedral had no idea how much this thing was worth, because it was insured initially for £5,000, and which is I guess about sort of $8,000. And it had a kind of auction reserve price of about $3 million. Fortunately, people came to their senses, and there was huge outcry, of course, in the Times newspaper of London and elsewhere, and questions asked in the Houses of Parliament, and it was decided that this thing was way too valuable to be sort of sold to the highest bidder and sort of disappear into someone's home.
You know, so many of us grew up with that idea of a map being sold in a gas station, and it was folded up, and you would unfold it across your lap and figure out how to get from point A to point B. What I find fascinating, I mean, certainly technological advances, GPS and so forth, you can plug in your coordinates and find out how to get there. But what I find interesting is that there's still mistakes. You know, we still find ourselves, even with GPS, at the end of a cow path wondering where we went wrong.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the classic recent example of that, isn't it, is Apple Maps.
Yeah.
Which is sort of extraordinary. I mean, I'm an Apple fan, and I do have an iPhone, and as a writer, you know, the Macs are always seen as great inventions. But how Apple got it so wrong is sort of extraordinary. I mean, I've got a friend who downloaded Apple Maps one day, and he went to bed and everything was fine with the world, and then having downloaded it, he found that on the map a fishmonger that was a mile away had somehow moved on the map into his back garden, and a really sort of extraordinary sequence of events, really, to get it so wrong. And I think it really proves the value and the power as well of Google Maps, because as soon as the Google Maps app became available, everyone downloaded it onto their phones. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we used to go into stores and everything. We used to buy maps that folded, and now I think my kids, a bit like buying newspapers, they kind of think, well, sort of, what's the point? You know, we can get everything for free online. But of course, we lose a great deal. We lose, I mean, not only, I think, we're beginning to lose the ability to kind of, you know, read maps and fold maps. So obviously, no one can actually fold a map back to its original position if it's a long, a long square one. But I think we're losing a sense of the size of the world as well. We tend to look at our palms and look maybe, 50 yards ahead or so, or if we're looking at a GPS in our cars, it's, 200 yards ahead. But we tend not to look around us. We could get from one end of the country without sort of seeing any landmarks, knowing exactly where we've been. And, although I love all these GPS advances, in some ways, I think there's a great risk that we're going to lose a lot. And really, that was one of the ideas of the book, to kind of look back and tell kind of our history through maps.
The book is On the Map, a mind-expanding exploration of the way the world looks. I just devoured this book. It is so funny and smart and accessible and delightful. And I thank you very much for talking about it with us this morning.
Well, great talking to you, Joe, as always.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, On the Map, published by Gotham. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.